Dennis Schroeder from the Lakers any minute. So this day in 1982, Momo, the album Thriller came out. Now, I was a DJ during these days
on a
station called 93QWRQN. And I played every one of these singles.
I bet.
It had seven top 10 singles. A lot of them hit number one. The Girl Is Mine, which was one he did with Paul McCartney. Billie Jean, the one that's playing now. Beat It. Wanna Be Starting Something. Human Nature. And PYT, Pretty Young Thing. Those are the singles from that album.
Gosh, so good.
It's such a great album.
I feel like there were still songs coming out from that album for like years later. Like it didn't all just come out in 82.
No.
Is that right?
You're right. It's strung out for a really long time because songs like Billie Jean and Beat It ran for a long time at number one. So then you'd release the other single once it had dropped out.
Right.
No, it's an amazing album. And I mean, all the Michael Jackson stuff is just terrible, and I've no idea what happened, but it sounds like it was awful and all that stuff. I didn't watch the documentary, but I understand what those kids are saying, what those guys are saying. But I can separate the genius of Michael Jackson from the activities of Michael Jackson. I can't. Not everybody can. Like, my favorite movie of all time is Chinatown. It's directed by Roman Polanski.
Oh.
And he had a situation with a 16-year-old girl that got him arrested, and then he fled the country. But I still love the movie Chinatown.
Yep.
I would still make that separation in my mind. Not everybody can. Can you?
I can on certain things. The one guy that I haven't been able – I mean, definitely some of the Me Too guys, like obviously Bill Cosby. That's a hard one.
Yeah, no, that's –
No.
Yeah. No, he's in prison.
And obviously Harvey Weinstein, you know, that's pretty bad. The one that I...
No, it's
that,
really bad. Don't say it's pretty bad. It's really bad.
Yeah, it's really bad. It's really bad. The one guy that I think you might be surprised that I cannot... I just can't. I can't do Mel Gibson stuff anymore.
Yeah, Greg Bergman is the exact same way.
Yeah, I mean, he said some really anti-Semitic things, and I'm a Jewish person, and like, you know, those just really hit me in a way that... And I don't feel like he ever... really atoned for it or said anything like that acknowledges how horrible those statements were. And there's also some other stuff that he's done and said that I'm not cool with, but to me it's the anti-Semitic stuff. I just can't forgive that.
I totally understand it.
I can't watch any more of his movies ever again. I've banned Nevin and all of our family from watching them too.
Yeah. And you know, for me, again, I think Mel Gibson's days as a great filmmaker are over. Mm-hmm. But that movie Hacksaw Ridge that he did, I thought was fantastic.
Yeah, I didn't watch it.
I totally am like, nope,
you just kind of like denied the Holocaust and said some really horrible anti-Semitic things.
Hey, let me ask you something completely random.
Yeah.
What the hell is Etsy?
Okay,
what is Etsy?
Totally
I see commercials for it all the time. I got no idea what it is.
Is it kind of like, Linz, do you know this? It's kind of like people have Etsy stores.
Yeah, I buy stuff on Etsy all the time. It's basically, the best way to explain it is it's a marketplace for like handmade or vintage or like hard to find goods. So
you can
find anything from like homemade friendship bracelets to a vintage Snoopy figurine that is really rare. Like it's mostly handmade stuff though. And
so
you can
it's
get
like
anything.
So it's like some lady somewhere makes earrings and then she sells them on the Etsy.
Sure. But you can also get things like really cool. Like I'm trying to think of some things that you can get like lithographs. You could get, if you wanted to, like somebody to create a logo for you on something, you could find somebody on Etsy to do it. There's so many different things that you can find on there.
I was in a dilemma on Thanksgiving Day, now that I know what Etsy is. So I get a text on Thanksgiving Day, and it reads, "Hey, brother, wishing you a happy Thanksgiving." And the number was not in my phone.
Oh, gosh, yeah.
I had no idea who it was.
And you had no previous text messages so that you could try
Correct.
To...
Correct. I had no texting
random,
with this person.
So
if you're out there, let me know who you are, because I did not say... Normally I say you're not in my phone.
Yeah.
But it was a holiday, so I didn't want to spoil the sentiment. So I just texted right back at you.
Yeah, that's nice.
Right back at you.
Yeah, cool.
Because I say, what?
New who, phone, who
did? Are you? You're not in my phone.
Yeah.
Ireland always says don't respond that way, but to me it makes the most sense. But it was, Thanksgiving messages. I didn't get one from you. I get so many Thanksgiving messages.
You know what? I find like people do this like art thing. They do like their Memoji. That's what it's called.
Yeah,
it's
emoji, sure.
No, Memoji. Do you know what a Memoji is?
Yes, I've got Memojis.
You do. You do. That's so cute.
Come on. Come on. You really don't think I've got a Memoji?
Totally.
I'm all about me.
I should have known. So like,
no, what I found out on Thanksgiving is that people are really thankful for me. Which is nice.
Yeah,
which is a nice feeling.
I feel like I got less Thanksgiving messages this year than I did in the past, which I don't know what that means. But I also think that, like, you know, most of those are really nice, but I feel like people say the same thing over and over. They, like, send it to, like, you know, the ones that I can't stand are the people who do the group text.
Oh, I can't stand
it. With, like, all these people that I don't know. I'm like, see, you're just supposed to copy and paste it.
Yeah, can't deal with group texts.
Yeah, I can't.
Send me an individual text. I don't want to be part of a group.
I'll remove myself from your group text. I'm going to mute you.
Exactly. Jump out of it. So let's move along here. I want to talk about the Denver Broncos situation. So the Denver Broncos yesterday played a wide receiver from their practice squad at quarterback.
Yeah.
He ended up 1 for 9 with, I think, 2 interceptions. Okay, Dennis Schroeder's here. Hey, Dennis, how are you, man? Thanks a lot for coming on.
I'm good. Thank you. Thank you for having me.
Absolutely. So let me ask you, when you were a kid growing up in Germany, did you follow the NBA?
Yeah, kind of. When I was like 10, 11, 12, that's when I got into basketball a little bit. And, you know, I watched a lot of, you know, NBA games as well. So 11, 12, that's where it all started.
So who was your guy? Who was your favorite player growing up?
Favorite player, I had CP3.
Okay.
Rajon Rondo, I watched a lot because everybody compared me a little bit, his playing style, when I was young. Him, then, of course, Tony Parker. I had a couple of them. Mike Conley as well. Yeah, it was a lot of them who I watched the games on.
So talk about the process. We're kind of dialing back here. Talk about the process of going from Germany to the NBA. How did all that go down?
First off, it started with the Nike Hoop Summit Camp because everybody got, you know, every, like a couple of NBA teams, you know, scouts came to Germany to watch me practice and play. But my agent, he did a great job of, you know, did a great job for me to participate in the Nike Hoop Summit, you know. And when I went there, nobody knew who I was. And everybody was asking, who is this kid, you know. And I came in, had practice for like 5 days, had very, very good practices. And then on Saturday, we played against a lot of like big names. It was like Jabari Parker was in there, then the Harrison twins, Julius Randle, you know, was a lot of people there. And I had a really, really good game. And since then, you know, the NBA knew, you know, that I was like a prospect and got drafted 17 by Atlanta.
Yep.
And that's where everything started for me.
So let me ask you, did you have any advanced knowledge that you could be traded? Did you have a sense that maybe you would be traded from OKC?
Yes. I think me and Sam, we was on the same page. Because when I got there or before I got there, we went on a call and we talked about, you know, 1 or 2 years coming, you know, off the bench and just be, you know, a great teammate, try to, you know, make the team better and try to make the culture a little bit better, you know. And he said when you do these things, you know, in 1 or 2 years, you're going to be, we can get you somewhere where you can, you know, start and, and yeah, play a lot of minutes. I played basically started minutes, still coming off the bench, but I think for me now it's like, you know, I wanted to make another step forward, you know, and I think me and Sam Presti was talking about it, and I knew before everything went down.
Yeah. So have you talked to the Lakers about this yet? I mean, is that the plan for you? And, you know, you talk to Coach and Rob Pelinka and LeBron and AD about starting?
My agent, I think he talked to them before, you know, before everything went down. And, I didn't talk to them yet about that situation, but I think my agent made it very clear. But I think, like I said, to come here to this organization and just, you know, like the biggest platform you can get, you know, and I think just being a part of it is going to be great.
Dennis Schroeder of the Lakers is with us, Mason in Ireland, 710 ESPN. So you've played against LeBron. What's it going to be like playing with him?
I don't know yet. I get to see when I, you know, be on court with him on the same team. You know, I'm looking forward to it. You know, he's one of the best players who ever, you know, touched the basketball and been on the NBA floor. I think you can, like, really learn from LeBron, and I think he is willing to help everyone, you know, around him to get better. And I'm looking forward to it, you know, and it's an honor, you know, to play for the Lakers and with him as well.
What did you learn from playing with Chris Paul last year?
Chris Paul is a great leader, you know, helps everyone as well. You know, him and LeBron are really good friends. So he's a great guy, family person, you know, helped everyone in this organization last year to get better, you know, try to educate everyone, even off the court, you try to educate everyone. He's just a great guy, and I think I learned a lot from him, you know, about leadership as well.
Dennis Schroeder is with us from the Los Angeles Lakers. So you're getting ready for training camp. When do you expect to get on the floor with these guys?
I mean, I got on the floor the first time in the visual workout. I'm still in the facility, in the Lakers facility. But I think the next couple of days, I think it's group sessions. Mm-hmm. And that's when I, you know, first get to know everyone. I met a couple of them today, a couple of teammates. But, you know, in the next few days, I believe we all get together and, you know, get it going.
Hey, Dennis, you were one of the guys who, I don't know if everybody, you know, realized how hard this bubble was for everyone, but you were one of the guys who had a wife who was pregnant with a child while you left for Orlando. Had a baby while you were there, and you actually left the bubble and came back. Can you just kind of fill everybody in on what that experience was like? Because I can't even imagine.
I mean, everybody who got kids knows how hard it is, you know, to get away for a few days, even, or a few hours, you know, from your be away from your kids. So me just first off, you know, being a month in a bubble. Of course, the NBA did a great job of, you know, organizing everything else, but you know, me as a family person was a little tough as well, you know. But then leaving the bubble, you know, to meet my baby girl, you know, and be there for my wife as well, it was great to see. But then after a week, I had to go back into the bubble and was gone for another 1.5 months, and that was pretty hard. I got to be honest, that was pretty, pretty, pretty hard.
Dennis, hey, last thing for you. Do you know, what is the German word for championship?
Meisterschaft. Meisterschaft. Yeah, I think Meisterschaft is the best word for it. Yeah.
There you go. Well, that's what we're excited for this year, man. We are glad to have you aboard. Dennis, thanks a lot for coming on. Appreciate it, man.
Thank you very much. I appreciate you.
Welcome to L.A.
Yeah, there's Dennis Schroeder, who made it pretty clear he's expecting to start.
I get that. I get that. He was, you know, look, he probably would have started for him last year if they didn't trade for Chris Paul.
Yes.
I mean, you know, and then they had Shai Gilgeous-Alexander, who was a really good player. I mean, it's interesting. The Lakers have Montrezl Harrell and Dennis Schroeder, the two runners up. Montrezl won it last year. Schroeder was the runner up. Lou Williams was third. So the Lakers have two of the top three, six men of the year on their team. I could see Schroeder starting. I mean, it kind of depends on what LeBron wants to do role wise. I think LeBron will probably play a lot of that role anyway.
Yeah, he'll play a lot of point guard. I mean, I'm not sure that it necessarily makes sense, but I think it can work.
Yeah, I do too. I think he and KCP can start together. They can play together.
He's a great catch and shoot player. I think he shot over 40% on catch and shoot last year. So he's going to be valuable that way. He's a good pick and roll partner. I can definitely see him starting. I can definitely see him starting. And then Montrezl Harrell becomes your sixth man.
Yeah. I mean, I think Montrezl was going to be he's going to come off the bench. But the question was, you know, who takes that Danny Green spot in starting lineup? And I thought Schroeder was going to come off the bench just because he's a change of pace guy, same kind of way that Rondo was. But if he wants to start, and then obviously he made it clear to them that that's important to him, I think you have to remember he's only on 1 year. This is the last year of his contract.
Right.
So they pay him $15 million a year this year. I don't think I think they would like to resign him, but obviously it's nice to keep the flexibility, for 21, because they want to add a second star to, a younger star to pair with Anthony Davis going forward. So that's why he fits perfectly as a 1 year guy. But I think they gave up a first round draft pick for him. So obviously you want to have some path. You want him to be happy enough to where he considers resigning. Like, they're going to have his bird rights. This would be a good situation for him if he was able to stay, and maybe if they chase another free agent, that's fine, but they have his bird rights. So if he wants to start, I think he's probably going to start.
sounds
like a smart move.
Sounds like that was part of the deal. All right, coming up next for you, just an embarrassment on the part of the Denver Broncos, just an absolute embarrassment.
Yep.
We will get into that coming up next for you. Mason in Ireland, 710 ESPN.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the upcoming draft, the playoff intensity, and finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sports book bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
The answer to that question, by the way, is enough.
Yeah.
I smoke enough.
Sounds right.
So, nice. Dennis Schroeder, nice guy, huh?
Yeah, nice guy.
Interesting.
I wanted to ask him that question about about his kid being born, because I remember that was a really big deal for him.
Oh, sure.
Leading into this. And think about that. I mean, like, your wife's like 8.5 months pregnant and you have to leave.
Yeah.
And then you're not going to be able to see her. And then you come home for like just a little bit, and then you have to leave again and just like leave her alone with a brand new baby. Oh, it's intense.
Yeah. No, that's definitely intense. And and then to go through the quarantine process.
Yeah.
On your way back in. I mean, that's a production.
Yeah. You know what I like about what the Lakers have done though, Mace? It's like
what?
They've got guys who have something to prove still. Like when you win a championship, people, it's hard to have that same hunger and fire again. And, like, he's trying to prove himself as a starter. He's in the last year of his contract, so it's a contract year for him. Got Montrezl Harrell, who I think was expecting to get paid a lot more and then ended up with this deal. He's got something to prove. He's on a 1-1. It's good to have new people and new blood on a championship team, because they give everybody else that same hunger.
Yeah, yeah. And there are guys on prove-it contracts, which I think is really healthy. And by the way, great for the cap.
Yeah.
For when we get Giannis next year.
There you go. You've already made that leap. I love it.
Straight to the title. It's back. December 22nd.
Oh,
straight
boy.
To the title.
Careful. You spraying stuff everywhere when you do that.
877-710-ESPN. So we got Radio Tinder coming up for you in 5 minutes, and Keyshawn Johnson will join us at 3 o'clock, so 25 minutes from right now. Keyshawn, by the way, Santa Key is coming to town. He's stuffing your stocking with Lakers goodies and collectibles. I hate the word goodies.
Yeah.
Lakers stuff and collectibles. Keep listening for the sound of Key coming down your chimney. Once you hear it, be calling number 7 at 877-710-ESPN. You'll have a chance to pick a stocking above the 710 fireplace. Keyshawn, Greeny, Max, me, Ireland, Sedano, LZ, Kaplan, Playoff Sliwa. You can win Lakers stuff and collectibles. Again, that's not right now. Do not call right now. But when you hear Santa Key come down your chimney, that's the time to call. 710-ESPN, your home of the world champion Los Angeles Lakers. All right, we've got Radio Tinder coming up for you next. Lindsay's got a bunch of stuff she wants to throw at us, and then Keyshawn in 20 minutes. Mason, Ireland, 710 ESPN. All right, so because I've been scolded for saying a bunch of stuff before Radio Tinder and shortening Lindsay's time, I will go right to Lindsay. Lindsay, what do you got?
Thanks, Mace. All right, first story here. An American tourist mailed a piece of marble taken from Italy back to the National Roman Museum with a note apologizing for snatching it in the first place.
Yeah.
The person, who describes herself in the note as a, quote, American a-hole, apparently took the piece of marble back in 2017. The museum curator speculates that the thief heard of another recent case which made its rounds to the media where someone returned marble fragments from the same museum after experiencing a serious string of bad luck.
Oh, wow.
Do you guys believe that you can be cursed by possessing material items? Swipe left or swipe right?
I'm going to swipe right. I do think the items you have around you can signify something. And I don't have bad stuff. I've got good stuff. I've got stuff in my house that I think brings me good luck. I don't have a bad luck piece, but I do believe it's a state of mind. If you believe something's bad luck, it is. Remember the Brady Bunch? They went to Hawaii. They found that little, was it a doll?
Like the tiki doll?
The tiki doll. They brought it home, and all of a sudden, all hell broke loose. I do believe there's stuff like that. What do you think, Momo?
I am with you. There's actually a thing in Hawaii about the lava. Mm-hmm. Do you know that the Hawaiian goddess is like the goddess of the Hawaiian islands, her name is Pele. Okay, that's the guy. Apparently, Pele will come after you with like all sorts of bad stuff if you take some lava home from Hawaii.
Mm.
So when I was a kid, my mom and dad took me to Hawaii, and I remember them telling me about this, and I was just old enough to totally believe that. So like I was really nervous. Like all the tourist stores sell lava rocks. I'm like, no, I'm not going to do that. I think I was like 7 or 8.
Yeah.
So I definitely think that if you take it in a bad spirit, like if you take something that you just shouldn't, or you've heard that
when
is
you
a bad
ignore
thing,
the sign that says, please don't take anything.
Yeah. Please don't take anything. I don't feel that way about like seashells. You know, I like to take shells from different
beaches around
the
world. I don't think there's any rule against that. Yeah.
Yeah. I think that's okay. But I feel like it's like pretty clear when you should or should not take something. Right.
Right.
And if you take something you shouldn't, it's bad karma.
Yeah, isn't there something with like the petrified wood?
Yes, petrified wood. The petrified forest, you're not supposed to take anything from the petrified forest. It's a national landmark. But that's a good example of a place where you're not supposed to take something from.
Hmm.
Yeah, I remember there was an entire podcast episode about that. And they said that they would get dozens, like per week, of people sending back pieces of petrified wood from the petrified forest because they thought that something really bad happened, or it was cursed, or it was bad luck. So people will take it and think it's okay. And then even if like the slightest bad thing happens to you, you'd have to be like, oh man, it's got to be that wood. Got to be that thing.
Ooh. All right, Lynch, what's next?
All right, next one. When we first learned that NBC was planning on a reboot of Saved by the Bell for their new Peacock streaming service, we wondered how many of the actors from the original cast would actually appear in the show's revival. So when it was all said and done, the entire original starring cast signed on for the reboot except for one.
Screech.
Screech. Yep.
Yeah.
So how did the show explain one of the key members of their early 90s high school posse being absent? Well, apparently Samuel Screech Powers can't be at the school because he's currently on board the International Space Station with Kevin. The
Get
AI
out of
robot
here.
That he had on the original show run. You remember his robot, Kevin, that talked?
Yes.
Yeah, so apparently instead of just completely ignoring Screech, they chalk him up to being a genius, and he's on a space station with his robot. So I wanted to ask you guys.
Yeah, didn't he like to go do porn?
He did all kinds of crazy stuff.
Yeah,
he did one of those. That's one of them. I don't know if you want to call it a porn. I don't know if he actually got paid to do that, but anyway.
I think that I don't think anyone would pay to see that.
Wait a minute. If you don't get paid, it's not porn.
Right. So I think maybe it was some kind of, I don't know, who knows what it was. But anyway.
I think he's had several
what's your question?
Unsavory things, yeah.
Exactly. He's turned into quite the unsavory guy. Do you think that they should still do these show reboots when they don't have the entire original cast on board? Swipe left or swipe right?
I'm going to swipe left.
Really?
I'm okay with it. I'm okay with it. I mean, as long as Lexi's there and AC is there.
Who's Lexi? You know,
Lexi?
Yeah, that's the one. Lexi in Saved by the Bell. No.
You don't remember her?
No.
Elizabeth Berkeley.
Yeah.
AC Slater. Is Mario Lopez. No, I think you can get by without Screech. Is Mr. Belding there?
But what about shows? Yeah, he's on there. But what about shows in general? Like, if they were going to do, like, you know, obviously Gilligan's Island is too old. But, you know, if they're going to do, like, a Friends reboot.
Friends reunion with no Matt LeBlanc.
Yeah, if like one person's missing, a critical part of the cast, like, do you think they should be doing it at all?
I wouldn't do that one. If you don't have all the friends, I think it's pointless. But Screech was sort of the sideshow of Saved by the Bell.
I agree
with
that.
So I'm okay with it.
Yeah, I think I don't know that they even invited him, to be honest.
I don't think they did.
I don't think they did.
I don't think it was like, ooh, Dustin Diamond turned it down. I think it was like... Nope, that's we're going to, hey, no one tell Dustin we're doing this. You know, it was more like that. I should Google, like, all the bad things that have happened with Dustin Diamond. But he's out there.
So I'm okay with this one in particular. It's okay to go on without Screech.
I don't find him to be critical. I think if they didn't have, like, Tiffany Amber Thiessen or if they didn't have Mark Paul Gosselaar, then no.
Well, originally they didn't, because originally they only had, I think it was just Elizabeth Berkeley and Mario Lopez. And then everyone was like, what the hell? How are they going to do this show without everybody else?
Uh-huh.
And then it all ended up coming together because everyone else signed on because they got excited about it. But I've heard talks of, like, you know, like Sex and the City reunion or I'm trying to think of some other ones.
Yeah,
like
Sex
stuff
and the
like
City,
that,
apparently,
like,
who's that?
It's the Samantha character,
Character. Yeah, she will not come back.
Yeah, so that's the problem. I would watch if they had Carrie and Charlotte and Miranda. I would watch it, but I would be really missing Samantha. I mean, she's really a big part of that.
She's a huge part of it. So big that we cannot remember her name. It's Kim Cattrall.
There it is, Kim Cattrall.
Nobody can't remember her name.
Right.
All right.
Right.
Yeah. Next one. The state of Hawaii announced it's offering, get this, free round-trip tickets to Honolulu to people who work remotely and are willing to dedicate some of their time towards contributing to the community. The temporary residency program called Movers and Shakas is in reference to the Hawaiian hand gesture, offers people who work remotely online the chance to do their job from the comforts of the tropical state. Would you temporarily relocate to Hawaii for the Movers and Shakas program? Swipe left or swipe right?
In a second.
I mean, Lindsay, why aren't you there already?
I'm literally on the website applying right now.
Yeah, I mean, we're here for another. I mean, we're going to be in our houses for another what?
Few months,
at least a couple months.
5 months, 4 months, three months,
something like that.
Why not do it from Hawaii? First of all, it's earlier in the day, and then you got the rest of the day at the pool. I'm all about it, man. I would do that.
I'll see you next week. You want to go?
Yeah, see you in Kona. I'll be in Kona.
Like, I mean, the only thing I need, I guess, is I'd have to bring, you know, Daniel and Nevin and everybody with me, but they would go. Yeah.
The only decision to make is what island. That's basically the decision you got to make.
Yeah. That's a great idea.
There's other places that are doing this, too. I saw one of them is Tulsa, Oklahoma. But what they're doing, because obviously who wants to get up and go to Tulsa, Oklahoma?
Right.
Yeah. They're trying to do the same thing where they want to, like, infuse the community with diversity and just, I guess, just kind of kickstart things. So they're offering people like $20,000 if they relocate there for at least 1 year. So they're not going to like pay you your rent or, you know, pay for your plane ticket or anything, but they're just going to straight up give you 20 grand. And the only stipulation is you've got to live there and be part of the community for a year.
For 1 year for 20
yeah.
grand?
Yeah.
Boy, a lot of people will do that.
Yeah, well, I yeah. consider it.
I mean, it's Tulsa, but...
Well, it depends on if how hard up you are.
But I swear, we could right. literally do this show from anywhere.
Anywhere. Yep.
Like, yep. for a long time, Lindsay was doing the show from Cleveland.
Yep.
I could pick up and go. Ireland could pick up and go. He's probably at Pelican Hill or Terranea or somewhere out there. Idaho, places that John goes, he could just plug in and start
don't
talking.
Don't you feel like this has changed how we're going to do the show in the future?
Yes,
like,
it absolutely
when,
has.
Like when we, you know, when it's safe, we should still come back to the studio. But if there's like a day that, hey, I could fill in, but I'm on the road, like it used to be that I had to go to a studio.
Now and then that was a whole your thing. Phone.
Now you just, I'm just like sitting in my room talking on the phone for a couple
yeah,
hours.
Yeah, it's crazy. Yeah. All right. So Hawaii it is.
Let's do
it. See you there.
I'm applying for it. I'll let you guys know what they say.
Okay, cool. Coming up, by the way, we've got Keyshawn Johnson. And Keyshawn is Santa Key this year again. He is going to come down your chimney at some point between now and 3 o'clock. No, between now and 4 o'clock. And he'll come down the chimney. When you hear it, be calling number 7-877-710-ESPN. Got a chance to pick a stocking above the 710 fireplace. One for Keyshawn, one for Greeny, one for Max, one for me, one for Ireland, one for Sedano, one for LZ, one for Kaplan. And, of course, who could forget playoff Sliwa? You can win Lakers stuff and collectibles. 710-ESPN, your home of the world champion Los Angeles Lakers. Coming up next for you, Keyshawn Johnson is going to join us. We'll review the NFL weekend. We will find out what he's cooking for dinner, because he's big on he's a chef.
Good cook. Yeah,
good. Very good cook. So Key is coming up next for you. Mason and Ireland, 710 ESPN.